Hallelujah. Actually, all I can do is give you the expanded version of Jim's message. He already preached mine. Seriously, a lot of what he said is just same scriptures even. But I believe the Lord will he will bless you with his word. Now see, that all that really does when that happens, and we didn't collude or talk ahead of time, it's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ for this hour. How many, this is for Gary, how many were not here last night? Can I just see your hand? Can you raise a little higher? Shandai Mahandai. Okay. I tie my bow tie. Okay, we're going to have to do a little review then. Praise the Lord. Gary, what are you doing right now? Incoming. Input. I learned a long time ago, you don't need to hear my message. You need to hear him. My job is to glory the volume. Is that good? Okay. My job is to yield and let him pull from the shelves of the library within me and talk to you from his word. Amen? Yes, sir. I promised you last night, you know, God believes in keeping promises. Last night I told you that I didn't know where that verse was. So it's John chapter 3. Let's just start there and we'll keep a promise first. Before I could even sit down, one of the people are here so helpful. They already had the verse for me and gave it to me on a slip of paper. I'll just start here. We're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 3:34 is the actual verse. And in the King James, the printed version, it says, "For he whom God hath sent," now this is John the Baptist talking, he says, "He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit," and that's a capital S, and it should be, "God give not the Spirit by measure unto him." But if you notice, "unto him" is in italics. Isn't that right? Now what does it say if you leave those two words off? God gives not the Spirit by measure. The subject matter is this. I'm just going to have to follow him best as I see the path here. For those of you that weren't here last night, about a year and a half ago at the prayer center in Tulsa, and by the way, I thank God for our pastor, Dave Roberson. I thank God for the miracles I have seen there. I have seen quite a few. And not only that, the Lord has graced Sue and I. We've seen miracles through our hands. And trust me, if he can work through us, he can work through you. But right on the other hand, about a year and a half ago, we lost in fairly close succession three of our members to cancer. Long-time members. These are upright, God-fearing, given their whole lives to God-type people. Everybody there was praying. We used the name of Jesus. We fasted. We confessed. We did everything that we knew to do. We had the end result, all three of them died of cancer. To be honest with you, I could just almost hear the enemy's voice saying, I'm coming to kill them in your camp, and you cannot stop me. Now, at that point, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to give up and turn tail and say, well, this doesn't work, and you're going to throw the Bible away. Or you're going to say, God, your word is true. I'm mad as hell. I'm not taking this anymore. You're going to have to show me where I'm wrong, because obviously I am. So I turned to God again. I said, I'm just starting again at square one. You're going to have to teach me, because I know what your word says. What did Jesus say? The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. See, this Spirit that was given without measure, in another place, I didn't look up this verse to show it to you, but you know what's in there. It says, of His fullness have we all received. Now, the first thing you need to understand, you didn't get part of the Holy Ghost. When you got filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Ghost, He didn't just cut off His little finger and give it to you. He didn't give you just His left arm. You got to understand, the Holy Ghost is not a thing. The Holy Ghost is a who. He is a Him. You have Him or you do not have Him. But if you have Him, you have all of Him. God does not give the Holy Spirit by measure. You don't have, now there's a difference between that truth and what we call presence. That presence that came in the worship tonight, I'll be honest with you, I didn't care if we had any teaching. I'll be honest with you, I would have driven the 800 miles for that hour. That presence alone was worth the journey. I would rather have an hour of that than just about anything else on planet Earth. Okay? But now the thing of it is, I have the Holy Ghost in me on the journey here as much as I had the Holy Ghost in me during that hour. I'm still learning how we feel that presence more at times. Now, in the old days, we thought He would come and go. That's not what Jesus said either. When He was leaving, He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to abide with you. So you already know, forever. In some ways, the Holy Ghost is stuck with you. He doesn't leave on your bad days. Thank you, Lord. Trust me, I agree with that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's seen you at your worst, and He still loves you. He's still with you, and He's still in you. Well, after you lose three in a battle, though, and I understand there's in every war there's casualties. In my opinion, all three of those people are casualties of war. They should not have died. It wasn't His will that they die. You'll never convince me it was His will for them to die. No. They were casualties of war. Because God didn't have, even at the prayer center, and I love the prayer center, even there He did not have warriors sufficiently trained to win the battle. I'd rather admit the truth so I can grow in truth. Yes. Amen? Yes. Well, so I started seeking Him harder than I ever have before. I recommend the lessons that He's been teaching me. There was like a year's worth of lessons on what the Bible says about healing, their communion. They're really good. I recommend them to you. But we're still pressing towards that mark. So a friend of mine, we got to talking about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. It's a good friend. And the subject comes up because you read the book of Acts and the power and the awesomeness and the miracles. And then you see the powerlessness of the church at large today. Okay, now, is it okay if I follow him if it doesn't make sense to me? Yeah. Now see, right here, he's reminding me, and if I don't obey him, I know what'll happen. I'll forget it. Listen. Way back in the early days when Sue and I had no ministry at all, we weren't traveling anywhere, we weren't even really ministering at the prayer center yet, the first assignment he ever gave us was to have a little Bible study in our home. And he gave us specific instructions who to invite. It was people that we had known quite a few years ago that started out on fire for God, but for various reasons at this point, many of them were kind of backslidden and not really even in church anymore and just kind of barely hanging on. But the Lord told me in prayer, He says, now they don't hate me or anything, but they've been kind of hurted or disappointed or whatever in church, and they don't trust church anymore. But they would like to learn about me if they could come to your house and feel like they were just in your living room. And they would like to learn if you'd treat them like family. So, and he gave us, we had a list of about 30 people that we send these invitations to. You know, most of them came. Most of them came. And we just began teaching them in our living room. Many of those lessons are still available at our website. One of them is called the Boot Camp Series. Another one is called the Believer's Workbook Series. God is still using those today. You know, we had somebody drive from Montana not just a few years ago. He got there on Thursday, which is when we used to have it. He said, "What time is Bible study?" Knocked on our door. We haven't had those since 1997. But he didn't know that. So anyway. But the reason he's bringing this up is this. And that, would you call that fairly new? Now, we were baptized in the Holy Ghost, though. We were attending the prayer center. We were just starting our journey of learning. Dave had not even yet taught the born-again trail. Think about that. Think what all we've learned. But he's reminding me of this event that happened because it. If anything happens, it's the Holy Ghost that does it. Do you understand that? It's the name of Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, but it's the Holy Ghost that you're working with. The title of tonight's message is Co-Laboring with the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, whether you think it, whether you feel it. It's scriptural. Now, so we're having our little Bible studies. Things are good. Things are happening. Some people got filled with the Holy Ghost. People got healed once in a while. But this particular night that he reminded me of, this lady was, she wanted prayer because she was going to drive to Kansas to visit a friend. So she just wanted a prayer like, you know, protection, Lord, we thank you for angels preparing the way. But I felt urged to, you know, I felt urged to ask her, "Well, why are you going to Kansas?" "Oh, I've got a friend up there that she gets really lonely because she really has severe reactions to anything with lactose. She's extremely lactose intolerant. And so she's very limited what she can eat. It restricts her fellowship. She's just lonely, and I'm just decided I'm going to go up there and spend a little time with her." And I heard the voice of the Lord. I said, "Would you like for your friend to be healed?" She doesn't have to have that lactose intolerance. She said, "Well, yeah, that'd be great." And so here we had I don't remember, 30 people maybe in our living rooms. It grew to, by the end of that, it was about 75 people. It was amazing. But anyway, I said, "Let's just gather around here." Now, I said these words out loud with my mouth. I heard them when I said them. We're laying hands on her, and I said, "The Lord says, you shall be a divine healing package. He is imparting through all of us the supply of the Spirit to heal your friend. When you get there, tell her about this, that you were at a Bible study. Tell her that you were at a Bible study, that these believers laid hands on you, and that you have come with sufficient supply of the Spirit, that when you lay your hands on her, she'll be healed in the name of Jesus." Yes. I said, "Will you do that?" She said, and she's just a meek, real nice, sweet, little mild lady, you know. Dave would call her Mary Milktoast, maybe, that would sit in the back, you know, she said, "Oh, okay. So, you know, she goes up there, and we don't see her she stayed up there a week or two. When she comes back, we're asking her what happened, you know. She said, "Oh, my friend got healed." I said, "Well, tell us about it." Well, I went, and to be honest, I was scared all the way up there. I said, "Lord, give me courage." I mean, that's a strange thing to tell your friend. But I decided I was going to do it, so I just told her. I told her what happened. And she said, "So is it okay if I lay hands on you?" She said, "Well, I guess so." So she laid hands on her, you know. And she said, "I didn't feel nothing." She didn't feel nothing. We're just sitting there at the dining table in her house, her apartment, I think it was. And she says, "I didn't feel anything." But she said, "Well, what would happen before with that lactose?" She said, "Well, if I eat even pizza, I'd just break out in hives all over." She said, "You know what? My husband left some pizza in the refrigerator. I haven't had pizza in years. Let's go get some pizza." So she went and got a slice of pizza out of the refrigerator. She ate a slice, and they both sat there and waited for the hives. The hives never came. She went, "Well, Oh, I haven't had milk. See, she had been reduced down to about all she could eat was instant mashed potatoes made with water. It's not God's will to live your life eating instant mashed potatoes made with water. If you can't have milk and cream and the butter and, I mean, you know, lots of butter, it ain't even mashed potatoes. I mean, you know, I mean, I got a witness from Brock. That's not God's will. So anyway, you know, oh, I haven't had milk in years. She went and poured herself a tall glass of milk. She drank the glass of milk and they sat there and waited for the hives. The hives never came. Now that girl was already a Christian. She didn't get born again, but she did get recommitted to God. She says, I never knew that he would heal like this. Tell me more. She started ordering the tapes from the Bible studies, and I don't know what all eventually happened. But I'll never forget that story. Now here's the part that I have to say. I try and be transparent with you because you need to learn. At the time that happened, Gary was still smoking like a freight train. See how quiet it got right there? My nicotine-stained fingers laid hands on that girl. I was one of them. And the Holy Ghost moved anyway. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. Well, how did that miracle happen? I heard and obeyed. On the way here tonight, now he's still teaching me. I'm going to go into the tornado again here in a minute. But he's still teaching me line upon line about this. On the way here, I mean, we're talking in the car, Angie and Kevin, we're all in the car driving here. But it's still, it's constantly, you're constantly monitoring your spirit. We've been talking about this tornado, you know, he's like this pillar of fire on the inside of you. He's like this tornado, fire tornado. And I heard this sentence. Yeah. This tornado has a voice. See, this tornado has a voice. This tornado is a who, not an it. If you learn to hear that voice and obey that voice, it's not about you. This is what Peter meant when God used him to heal that man at the Gate Beautiful. Why look on us as though by our own power or even our own holiness this man has been made whole? No, it is that name and faith in that name that this man is made whole before you. Now, right on the other hand, we're probably not going to have time this week. One of the assignments that he's given me is study the lives of the men and women in whom this has worked. The ones where that made it. Smith Wigglesworth is one of them. John G. Lake is one of them. And there's some Utters. Well, Maria Woodworth Utter. No, it's Utter. Maria Woodworth Utter and others I've been studying. In fact, I'm going to read a couple of quotes from Smith that I happen to bring with me. Smith Wigglesworth would say this: any person filled with the Holy Spirit should never say the words, "I can't." He says, to ask God for power after receiving the Holy Spirit is to call God a liar. Well, let's just start there. Go to Acts chapter 1. Because that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, John chapter 5, that's not. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Come on down to verse 8. But you shall receive power. And that's the word dunamis, not exousia. This is where we get our word dynamite. This is raw. See, when he gave you the name of Jesus, you go in my name, that's where you got your exousia. That's the authority. But when he gave you the Holy Ghost, you got a dynamo, dynamite, dunamis, a fiery tornado on the inside of you. And he says, you shall receive that power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, even Dayton, Ohio. Now, when he says witnesses unto me, none of us that I'm aware of were there to see him rise from the dead. What's he talking about? We are witnesses of the fact that he did. And we are to demonstrate it, not just tell about it. It is to be words, not just words alone, but words in demonstration of the power and in spirit. So you forgot, you thought I forgot about my talk with my friend that we're talking about this. Why such a difference between the power that we see in the book of Acts and the lack of power that we see in the modern church today? And so the question came up, well, maybe they got a different baptism than we got. You know, maybe they just, we don't have the same baptism. Yeah. You got to be careful of human reasoning. And my friend, I mean, hey, I was in there with him. When you have three die in a row, even you begin to suspect you don't know nothing. Or not enough, anyway. I'm teachable. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, teach me. So what he's been doing, he has been teaching me from his word, from these generals from the past, but also he's been teaching me personally with dreams and visions where I can understand the baptism in the Holy Ghost and what that really means for each and every one of us. Because, yes, sir. When he says this, you shall receive power, let me ask you, were there only 11 people in the upper room? How many people were in the upper room? 120 people. And they all received the same baptism. Do you realize Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there? It plainly tells you. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and every single one of them received the same power. Now, yes, sir. Mark 16, I am going to get around to my discussion with my friend. I hope. Mark 16. Now, what we're about to look at here is what Jesus calls normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill Christianity. Not exceptional, not strange, not... Anyway. Starting in verse 15, he says... He's starting with 11, just 11 people. He says, "Go," and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, what he's about to say does not just apply to the 11 names. L.A. When I get in this mode, I have a worst. Would you come just for a moment? He's going to represent all 11. Okay, no, stay right there. Okay. The older I get, somebody else does the walking and the moving. Okay? And, so, okay, turn this way for a minute. When I preach and I get to be Jesus. So, anyway, I'm telling you, now, Jesus hand-trained this guy. These 11, they have walked with him, they've talked with him, they're about to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but they've already been, the Holy Ghost has already been working with them, and Jesus told them, he shall be in you. And he's hand-trained this bunch. And he says, I want you to go, now see this whole world out here? I want you to go, and I want you to teach them that didn't walk with me, them that did not see me, those that have not seen the miracles, those that have not even been raised in at that point, Judaism. They've never even been raised in the law. They don't know, come here from Sichem. They've been bowing down to Diana and all these false gods. But I want you to go to all of them, and I want you to teach them everything that I taught you. You got that? Don't leave anything out. You teach them
what I taught you.
Now let's just pick a heathen. Who can go over to Bronk?
My buddy.
Now this guy was raised, he's been worshiping grass. Okay? He thinks grass is God. Now I'm not talking marijuana, just grass, okay? This guy has never heard of the Ten Commandments. He doesn't know anything. But here comes one of the 11. Now the 11, he has seen everything. He has seen he's seen Jesus. He's heard Jesus. He's talked with Jesus. But boy, Bronk hasn't. But this one of the 11, he begins teaching this heathen. And he's just teaching everything that Jesus taught him. But Bronk is teachable. He finds out grass is not God. Grass is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. What? God raised Jesus is God's son. God raised Jesus from the dead. He died on a cross for me. And if I receive him, I can be saved. And he believes it. So first he gets saved. Hallelujah. Then he starts talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. He says, God didn't want you to just be forgiven and make heaven. He wants to use you while you're here. And so he will give you, the promise of the Father is, he will give you the Holy Spirit. Then you will have the same power in you that I have in me and that Jesus had in him. You want to receive that power? Bronk's a smart guy. I would like to have that power. Lay hands on him in Jesus' name. Ah! He starts speaking in tongues. Now, the message is, you can go see, you're going on to the next country. Bronk, you're going to have to put your stuff down just for a minute. Now, Bronk is just Mr. Believer, Mr. Grass Worshipper, who has become saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. But he's a believer, just a normal, everyday believer. And here's what Jesus says about him. He that believes, that's you. And you didn't walk with Jesus. You weren't hand-trained by Jesus. You heard and believed. It says about this guy will be saved. These signs will follow him. In my name, this guy, he will cast out devils. Let me ask you a question. Can he do that without the co-laboring of the Holy Ghost? How did Jesus say he did it? One place he says, I cast out devils by the finger of God. Another place he says, I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is the finger of God. I like it that it only takes a finger to cast out a devil. Reinhard Bonnke says, the devil roars like a lion, but he's really a little pussycat in the corner. Meow. Only takes a finger of God to cast him out. See, we've got to get that kind of attitude. This is normal, everyday Christianity. Not only is he going to cast out devils, this man's going to be able to speak in a language he's never learned. If need be, he'll speak in the language of the people where I'm sending him. But I'm also giving him a language that's supernatural, where his reborn spirit can communicate with me all the time. And as he does that, I'm going to be communicating mysteries. I'm going to take over the teaching role. Started by the apostle, but I'm going to take over that teaching role. And I'm going to teach him directly myself. Okay? On his journey, if the enemy sends serpents, poisonous snakes trying to kill him, they will not have any power over him. Now, does that take the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. If they try and poison him and make him drink some deadly thing, it's not going to have any power. Now, that is supernatural. That's the Holy Ghost, see? All right? Now, I love this one. This guy, the believer, just the believer that heard it. He didn't walk with Jesus. He wasn't hand-trained by Jesus. He said, he will lay hands on the sick. Didn't even say pray. He will lay hands on the sick. Now, praying is okay. Don't get me wrong. But he will lay hands on the sick. Why? There's something in him that flows through his hands. What is that something? That's the Holy Ghost. And this is normal, everyday Christianity. This is what Jesus intended from the beginning. Okay, you can sit down now. Thank you. Give Bronk a hand. Doesn't Bronk make a good heathen? I'm sorry. I love Bronk. This is some notes that I've made from a book I've been reading about John G. Lake. Fairly recent book. And this was written by Wilford Wright, which is John G. Lake's son-in-law. And he worked hand-in-hand with John G. for the last 4 years of his life. But he's also the one that received pretty much all of the archives and the notes and the teachings from John G. Lake. And so anyway, let me read you. This is John G. Lake's own words about God's vision for Christianity. John G. Lake says, "Experimentally, I knew God as Savior from sin. I knew the power of the Christ within my own heart to keep me above the power of temptation and to help me live a godly life. But when I say to you that I knew the purpose, when I knew the purpose of God and the greatness of His salvation, life became for me a grand new thing. When by the study of His Word," what? Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
"When by the study of His Word and the revelation of His Spirit, it became a fact in my soul that God's purpose was no less in me than it was in the Lord Jesus Christ, and is no less in you and I, the younger, than it was in Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Then bless God, I saw the purpose that God had in mind for the human race. I saw the greatness of Jesus' desire. That desire was so intense that it caused Him as King of Glory to lay down all of that glory possessed for Him and to come to earth to be born as a man, to join with our humanity, and by His grace lift us in consciousness and life to that same level that He Himself enjoyed. When I saw that, Christ became a new factor in my soul. Such a vision of His purpose thrilled my being that I could understand then how it was that Jesus, as He approached man and his needs, began at the very bottom, called mankind to Him, and by His loving touch and the power of His Spirit through His Word, destroyed the sickness and the sin that bound them, and set them free in both body and soul, lifted them into union and communication with Himself and God the Father. Yes, by the Holy Spirit indwelling the souls of men, Christ purposed to bestow on mankind the very conditions of His own life and being, and to give to man through the gifts of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit the same blessed ministry to the world that He Himself had enjoyed and exercised." That sounds like the works that I do.
Yeah.
Shall you do also, doesn't it? "Man is transformed and lifted and unified with the living Christ through the Holy Ghost, so that all the parts and energies and functions of the nature of Jesus Christ are revealed through man unto the salvation of the world." There's so much in here. John G. Lake got such a revelation of the Holy Ghost on the inside of him that he worked in Africa with the bubonic plague, smallpox, diphtheria, almost every contagious disease that you can imagine. He says, "I did it, I and my workers, without fear. Neither I nor any of my workers ever contracted one of those diseases. And neither of us brought it home to our wife and children." Now that's supernatural. That is absolutely supernatural. He worked with the bubonic plague. Bubonic plague, they were burying them and ministering to them and helping them. And a team of doctors arrived from America and they saw what they were doing. And anybody else who tried to work like that usually got it and wound up dying themselves. They said, "How is it possible? What is, have you found some cure?" They're thinking natural. "Have you found some cure against the bubonic plague?" And his answer was, "No. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, God lives in my body. And any germ that touches my body dies instantly by the power and life that's in me. But they decided to test it. So they took some froth from someone who had just recently died. It was just, they put it under a microscope. A froth from the mouth, when they would die, they'd have a little froth. They took that and they put it under a microscope, and it was just teeming with that bacteria. And they watched. They put it on John G. Lake's skin, and instantly, all of that bacteria died. Does that sound like any deadly thing will not harm them? This is the standard, normal operating procedure that Jesus intends for Christians. Not the fivefold. How many were in the upper room? 120. How many got filled? 120. When Jesus gives this in Mark 16, you've got to understand those that believe. I'm going to say it a little bit more bold. In my name, they shall cast out devils. It is God's will that the least in the body of Christ has authority over every devil. This is normal. Those that believe. Get this. They shall speak with new tongues. Normal Christianity is to be spirit-filled and speak with other tongues. Jesus doesn't know any other kind. Did you get that? He says those that believe will speak with other tongues. He doesn't know any other kind of Christianity. The only reason there is some other kind is man has decided there's some other kind. But he doesn't call that normal. And I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying they're being held back from their inheritance. He believes that when you believe, when we believe, he believes believers. He believes believers, every believer, has authority over sickness. This is supposed to be normal Christianity. And the fact that it is so absolutely remote is the answer as to why we're not having revival all over the world. I have a feeling the early church, you know, we have the Acts of the Apostles. We're not told a whole lot about the Acts of the believers. But we do know this, Christianity spread in the early world like wildfire. I'm beginning to think, and I think I'm justified in this, the reason it spread like that, the people didn't go with just words. The people went with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord works with the apostles because they're the ones that he sent, all right? And they went preaching everywhere, the Lord working with the word, confirming that with signs following. But then those that believed, when they went into other, you know, there was a great dispersion because of the persecution. And when they went to these other places, they didn't just preach that Jesus is alive. They demonstrated that Jesus is alive. And it spread like wildfire through that early world. And I'm telling you, it will spread like wildfire in our world today. They say, England is a burnover field. You go in there with a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, and England will have revival again. America can have revival again. I am telling you, God's gospel has not changed, and the Holy Ghost is still the power of God. And he will enforce that every time, if he can find a people that will hear him and obey him without question. So my friend and I were talking, well, maybe they had a different baptism. No, they didn't have any different baptism. There is only one baptism. There's only one Holy Ghost, and he does not, and when I saw that he does not come in a measure. I'm doing a lot of telling. You have got all the Holy Ghost there is. Inside of you is all the Holy Ghost there is. He did not just come with a little finger in you. He did not come with a fingernail in you. He did not come with just a little part. Now, how much he rises in you is really more to do with you than it is with him. How much control he has, how much, because he will not override your free. If God was ever going to override the free will of any human, he would have done it to Adam on the way to the tree. So you can write that off. That is not going to happen. But if we learn to yield to Him, learn how to co-labor with Him, I'm telling you, the fields are white for harvest. People say, oh, it's so dry now. And it is. We're getting a lot of pressure against Christianity. More and more, we're going to have persecution in this country now. But you know what I say about dry wood? Dry wood burns the hottest. Dry wood is the easiest to catch on fire. If you're ever out in the woods and it's raining and you need a fire, are you looking for wet wood? No, you're looking for dry wood. And I'm telling you, we got a good America right here that's full of dry wood that's about to have revival fires like it's not been seen in 100 years. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe you're going to be part of it. Mm. So I've been asking God, you've got to teach me about this baptism. I know that we didn't get some different baptism. He began asking me the most simple questions, like, Gary, can you speak with tongues? Yes, I can. Want me to show you? Shanda Laukosa. I start speaking with. He says, can you do that without the Holy Ghost? I went, no. Well, the Bible's real clear. They all spake as the Spirit gave the utterance. And Dave eloquently taught us about that, how the Holy Spirit, when you're praying in another in an unknown tongue, it's not you creating those words, it's the Holy Spirit creating every syllable. Your spirit picks it up. Your spirit is able to hear Him. And if you will yield your tongue will literally be speaking the words that originated with God the Holy Ghost. And those words originated in the mind of Christ. Pardon me, I need to go pray right now. Well, I don't know why I'm wasting my time here. I'm not wasting my time. You know, man, you really start thinking about what's going on when you're speaking with other tongues. So he started teaching me about this baptism. He said, well, I've got to have the Holy Ghost in me if I have this ability to speak with other tongues. The Holy Ghost has got to be in me. But see, I feel powerless like you feel powerless. So then he started teaching me with a series of these visions that I'm going to go through quickly again with you tonight. And we're going to go just a little bit farther. Is that okay? So in the first one, I saw this vision of just a lit candle. If you've ever seen the Bonneville Salt Flats, you know how flat that is. It's just a flat plane in this vision. And I saw a candle about 10 inches tall, but the candle was lit. And I heard the verse that says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And I knew that lit candle, in this case, represented Jesus when he was conceived in the womb of Mary and born as a man. See, what we call the life of the second birth, he had at his first birth. He is the first one born with that life, with his candle, his spirit lit. And here he was. And boy, there's power in the candle. Just the candle power, along, without the baptism in the Holy Ghost, he lived for 30 years sin-free. Do you know you have that same candle on the inside of you? If you're born again, you've got that same light of life. He says, those that follow me will not walk in darkness, but they shall have the light of life. That's that new nature that he put on the inside of you. And that alone has the power to cause you to walk free from sin. And he did that for 30 years, never lied. I can't imagine a kid growing up never lying, never cheating, never stealing. But he did. But you notice also he'd never cast out a devil. He never raised the dead. He never healed the sick during that time. See, that's not what the life is for. The life is your guide. The life is your light to walk by. And it's a perfect compass. But now let's go on a little farther. Because the day comes when he gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now the way it's recorded for us, it's the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Part of the reason for that, there was no purging required with Jesus. You got that? But see, John the Baptist said, when he says, yeah, I baptize you in water. I've thought about this a lot. I've never been to the Jordan, but I imagine it's a nice river. It's not a lake, it's a river. There's a current. It's probably pretty pleasant to be laid down in that cool water. But John says, you know, I baptize you with water. But he that's coming after me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with... Let's meditate that a minute. You walk up, Jesus is the one going to baptize you now. You walk up and you're looking for a nice cool river. But there's not a nice cool river. He says, no, I'm going to baptize you in something else. I'm going to baptize you in fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost. It's going to start purging everything out of you that's not of me. Are you reminded right now of Pastor Dave's tapes? When you first start tapes. How long will I say tapes? Pastor Dave's messages when you first start praying in other tongues and you start feeling worse than you did before. And you go, what's going on? Because it's like the Holy Spirit is going into rooms of the attic rooms of your soul that you nailed those doors shut a long time ago. You don't let anybody see those rooms. You don't even go in there yourself. But you start praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, He brings the light of that fire right into every one of those rooms. And your first reaction is, you see the dirt that's there? And you go, look at all the dirt that this light brought. The light didn't bring the dirt. The light exposed the dirt. Now He's leaving it up to you to do what He tells you to do about it. I've got to back up. I'm going to quote John G. again. When he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, give me a moment. Yes. For 6 months following his baptism in the Holy Spirit, he said, the Lord revealed many things in my life where repentance, confession, and restitution. You know what that means, restitution? That's where you, in the natural, you've got to go make something right. So for 6 months, he revealed many things in my life where repentance, confession, and restitution were necessary. Yet I had repented unto God long ago. Oh, the deep cleansing. The deep revelation of one's own heart by the Holy Ghost. It was John the Baptist who said of Jesus, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Don't go on a witch hunt. But when you start praying in the Holy Ghost, if he brings up something to you that you need to make restitution, you need to go make restitution. Got real quiet again. Every one of these people that I have read over, every single one of them says, holiness is a requirement to walk in the power of God. Now, he can work through the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, the last message I heard, I'm a card-carrying member of both of these men's churches. They both have a seat reserved for me in their church because I stay current on all the messages. And the most recent one, we thank God for every revival that's come, the Welsh revival, all of these different, the Brownsville revival in more modern times. But see, none of those revivals were permanent. They came, some of them were longer and shorter. Even the Azusa Street revival that launched this around the world, it itself did not last very long. It was brought down. And part of the reason for that, many of these revivals were birthed by the gifts. We're not after a gifts revival. Now, we're not against the gifts. I expect every gift to flow through us. But we're not going to be limited by, let me say it a different way. What he is after this time is full-grown, mature sons and daughters of God who have allowed the Holy Spirit to purge the chaff out so that their mind has become synchronized, if you'll allow me, with the mind of Christ. They think like him, walk like him, talk like him, act like him, and have the same results he had. And it will be permanent. And we're going to harvest until Jesus comes. There are 7 billion, almost 8 billion souls on the planet now. And the smallest sliver of them are Christian. You talk about the fields being white for harvest. We need this kind of Christianity. We need this kind. The kind that Jesus said is normal Christianity. Where believers cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick and see him recover, and be a witness to him, not building our own empires, but everything we do. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen from the dead. He is the only name whereby man can be saved. Glory to God. See? That's a witness unto him. And it's all done with love. It's all done with love. So he started showing me. He says, these little teaching visions that he started giving me. And I know Jesus says, John said, Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now keep this and with fire. See, there's a purging within us. So what he started showing me was this. First, I saw that little candle and I saw it for a long time. Days is what I'm talking about. I saw it. It would come again to me. It'd come again to me. I knew he was showing me Jesus and the power of just the life. The life that you receive when you get born again. It's pretty powerful. Dave used to say, he says, you know, you think sin is such a problem, but if you ever get a revelation of how strong your new nature is, your flesh will think it got run over by a steamroller. It has no power at all against your spirit. Anyway. But then one day, I'm seeing that candle again, and then suddenly right next to it is a fiery tornado. At first it wasn't real big. You know, have you ever seen those newscasts from when they're having the fires out in California? Every now and then there'll be a little fire tornado. It kind of looked like that. But that thing grew and grew, and pretty soon it wasn't just a fire tornado. I said, that has to be the pillar of fire. Like what they saw in the Old Testament. And it was awesome. Now here's a 10-inch candle, and right over there is this pillar of fire that it's a tornado on fire, the wedge kind, the big kind. And it goes all the way to the sky. And in my vision, it wasn't silent. It was a rushing mighty wind. I mean, if you ever heard a tornado, that's enough to scare you right there. And I saw these two side by side, and it represents Jesus before the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But then I saw it just plain as anything. Suddenly the two merged. And the candle was fully immersed. Fully engulfed. Could I say fully baptized by that tornado of fire. And the candle was not consumed. What's amazing, I could still see the candle in there. The candle and this tornado had become one. When the cloud moved, candle moved with it. If the candle moved on its own, it was outside the power. If you want a picture of the modern day church, there it is. We're trying to do everything on our own, not really have the mind of Christ. It's better to get back inside the candle. Okay? Alright? Now, so I saw that one for the longest time where just the two of them become one. And then recently, even in fact, it was this week, while since I've been here, I was seeing it again. Here was this candle baptized with this power. I wish I could get across to you the hair. If you stood in front of that tornado, the hair on the back of your neck would stand up. You know, the power of it. And I'm watching it. And I know it's Jesus baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden, this most recent one, suddenly that disappeared and there was just Jesus. Just a normal man, looked like any Middle Eastern person, wearing a white robe and sandals, and he just came walking towards me. But I knew, even though he looked like a normal, everyday human, on the inside of him was that fiery tornado. And he's explaining to me what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. If you can shandai, if you can speak with tongues, the Holy Ghost is in you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This verse just came alive to me during this whole process. And really, Paul here is teaching about not fornicating. He's teaching against fornication. But in the process of teaching on that, he gives this truth for each and every one of us. And when I first started hearing it again, I said, no, I can't say that. Because what I was hearing is, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I said, that can't be what it... No, it must be my spirit. My spirit is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I had to go look it up. You find it, 1 Corinthians 6? Look at verse 19. What? Know you not? Does it say body? Hold out your right arm. Just hold out your right arm just for a moment. Touch that thing. That's your body. Let's not get spiritual here. Now, I know the Holy Ghost dwells in your spirit. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what he's saying is this. Your physical body is the temple of God the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say it another way. God the Holy Ghost lives in your body. I'm going to say it another way. The Holy Spirit lives in your body without measure. Now tell me again what it is you can't do. Now I'm starting to understand why Smith Wigglesworth said, anyone that has been baptized in the Holy Ghost should never say, I can't. There is no such thing as that. Say it with me. Touch your arm again. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Say it another way. My body is the place on earth where God the Holy Spirit lives. And say it one other way. Touch it again. The Holy Spirit lives in my body. Without measure. I double dog dare you to meditate on that for a while. Make those kind of confessions and stay the same. You will not stay the same. You will not stay the same. Especially if you throw in some speaking with other tongues. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That was true in the Old Testament. And it's true in the New Testament. See, part of what those apostles, when they went and taught, they taught them, I'm sure, along this same line. They were telling them the same kind of things that I am telling you tonight. This has not been heard very much in the modern day church. But they were telling them then. And they believed it. The key is you have to believe it. So last night I told him, I said, one of the ways that the Holy Spirit, that the Lord's been helping me understand this, he used an analogy regarding sin. See, I grew up Southern Baptist, like Brother, I know your name, Jim. I grew up Southern Baptist. And thank God for the Baptists. You know, I remember how Dave used to say, if it wasn't for the Baptists, where would we Pentecostals get our people? You know, amen. Baptists and Catholics, thank God for you. But see, right on the, and they would preach the cross accurately. You can genuinely get saved in a good old Southern Baptist church. But then the very next Sunday, they'd probably just, that you know, they'd teach you, yeah, you got saved, you're a new creature in Christ, but the very next Sunday, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. And so the end result that you walked away with, okay, I'm forgiven, but I'm still just an old sinner, and I can't stop sinning. And so you live like that, you grow up like that for my whole life. But then we got a Nathan Barbel in our church. It's dangerous to listen to a Nathan Barbel. Nathan's got a little prophet in him. Everything's black and white. There is no gray. You ever been around a real prophet? I've been around a couple of them. Not ones that say they are, but real ones. Here's a real prophet. There is no gray, black and white. They'll come to you. I had a friend, a real friend, who's a prophet, real one. He said, can I come over? And I said, well, that depends. I've been around him enough to know. I said, are you wanting to come as my friend or as the prophet? I'm just coming over, you know, friend. Okay, come on over. Here's a prophet. You come in, you go, thus saith the Lord, do this, or die. Let's have lunch. And you can try all you want to get more information out of them, like, what? What? And for the longest time, I thought he was withholding, but then I finally figured out he didn't know anymore. A prophet only knows what thus saith the Lord. And once he's delivered that, he's done. If you want any more information, you got to go talk to the Lord about it. See? Well, Nathan's got a little bit of that. And he's been going down that born again. And Dave was the first one that laid it out for us in the born again trail. Dave was the one that says, if you're still sinning as a Christian, you're doing it because you want to. That's a hard pill. But it is absolutely the truth. Nathan would take that passage in Romans chapter 2 where the Gentiles who have not the law, but these are got born again. They weren't raised. They never heard the Ten Commandments in their life. But they got born again. Somebody preached Christ. They got born again. God wrote His law right in their mind and in their heart. And He says, so these Gentiles who have not the law, when they do by nature those things contained in the law, they become a law unto themselves. See, and that's what God said. He said, I will write my law in your hearts and in your minds. You will all know me. And so that's the light of life. So he was reminding me, because after Dave, and then after Nathan, I'll be honest with you, my path got a lot narrower. It's still getting narrower today. Is it as narrow as it should be? Going on to the next subject here. We're all working on our path, come on. But I'm telling you, see, what he was telling me was this. Well, why did you walk such a broad path before? Well, I thought I had to. That's what I was taught, yes, sir. Now, even as I say that, he's reminding me what he told me during Jim's first message Sunday morning. Jim laid it out like he does, line upon line, precept upon precept, about your responsibility to get into the Word for yourself. These deceivers are already in the world, and it's going to get worse than it is right now. Okay, and the Lord said, and the answer is you got to get in the Word. You need to meditate the Word. And that's true. But in that message, the Lord told me, He says, no one will be able to use the excuse of I was deceived on that day, because I gave you my Word, and I gave you the teacher of my Word. And He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And if you got deceived, it's your fault. Now that's a hard word, isn't it? Well, it's my pastor. My pastor. Well, I'm not saying he didn't lead you astray. Did you own a Bible? Did you have the Holy Ghost? And what's your reason? In the same way, he was showing me that once I knew the truth about sin and the fact that I didn't have to walk in it, man, my path narrowed and narrowed. It already narrowed a whole bunch, but I mean, it got narrower and narrower. He said, it's the same thing with my spirit. People have not been taught what they have. In fact, if anything, they've been taught that they don't have, that they don't measure up, that they're not good enough, that there's this and they're that. Well, listen, we're all being conformed to that image, and that is part of His plan. But I know now why he started off with that little story about the lady in Kansas. This was at the beginning of our journey. This was before we even heard the Born Again Trail. My nicotine-stained fingers did not hinder the moving of the Holy Ghost in order to heal that girl up there in Kansas. Get over yourself. I want to hesitate now, make sure that I heard that right. There's not a person in the sound of my voice that's born again and filled with the Holy Ghost that does not qualify for everything Jesus said right here. You qualify now. Now, it starts by the gifts of the Spirit. You understand that? And it starts by hearing that voice. Yes, sir. I'm going to finish with a prophecy that Tim Stemple sent me. He heard last night's message, at least I think he did, because he sent me a prophecy that is like amazing. I don't know who this came through. I don't know when it came. But I know if Tim sent it to me, I trust it. You ready? Somebody put a title on this one. It's just one page. We're going to let you out fairly soon. And it's called What? And the title they put on it is What I Desire Most. It's the Holy Ghost speaking, and he says, as the flame of me in you grows. I was hooked right there. There's a tornado inside of you. There's a fire on the inside of you. As the flame of me in you grows to be the all-consuming fire that I desire it to be, then will I pour through you all of who I am to a lost and dying world. Everyone you will come in contact with will see my fire in you, and they will desire what they see. And when you touch them, I will be able to consume them with all that I am. Lay down your life once and for all, and allow me to be the all-consuming fire in your life. Nothing can fulfill you like I can. Know once and for all, I continually desire you. I desire constant fellowship with you. Say constant. I am passionately in love with you. Yes, you. Nothing about you is boring to me. For this consuming fire to be able to ignite and completely engulf you in its flame, you must spend much time in my presence worshiping me. As you worship me, I can become the all-consuming fire that burns away everything in you that is not of me. My life and light in you, that you will allow me to shine forth brilliantly from you, will set many free. Many will receive freedom to walk into the fullness of the intimacy I desire. What I desire most, and that's the title that they put on this, what I desire most is for your level of fellowship with me to spark a hunger and a thirst for the same to be present in their lives. Continue to seek me with your whole heart, that I may consume you and fill you to overflowing. You wonder how I can use the word continue when you look at your failings. Did you not seek forgiveness? Did I not grant it? You must cease to dwell even 1 second in the past. The past will not take you to my future for you. Remain continually in the present with me. That is how my future for you will be manifested. Did not Jesus say that he only did what he saw me do? How did he do that? By remaining ever present with me. Do you think the way has changed? There is only one way. You must learn to continually hearken to my voice. Have I not said I will never leave you nor forsake you? That confirms that I am with you always. So really the ball is in your court to develop your ears to constantly hear my voice, so you can always be a doer of my current mind, every step you take on the path to my future for you. You have not, because you ask not. Ask for grace to immediately discern in yourselves ears dull of hearing, a hardening of your heart, and any trace of offense received. When I speak of ears dull of hearing, it is the same as not being a constant doer of the word. Take heed and great caution to not be deceived that by being a hearer, you think that makes you a doer. Now that's tomorrow night's lesson, by the way. See, I know that when I'm reading it. That's tomorrow night's lesson. Speaking of grace, now by the way, I didn't get this till today. Tim sent it. I saw it this morning in my email box. But I already knew what tomorrow night, or whatever, if I get to do another one, I know that's the lesson. Speaking of grace, my grace, have you sensed in your spirit an increase of being able to receive my grace? It has always been there, but this next level where I am taking you, the path has been paved by a few. Continue to seek and receive my grace. You have been told I have mountains and mountains of grace stored up for you. Eradicate all thoughts that you could possibly use up even one of them. I am pleased with you. Continue on this path. If you could see my eyes, they sparkle with delight and great anticipation with all I am soon able to pour out upon this earth. Glory, glory, I'm telling you, we are the best is yet to come. This nation has not seen God yet. You don't believe all the news reports about everything getting worse and worse. I see it all the time too. I choose to believe God's report.
Amen.
Remember, the driest wood burns the hottest. The driest wood is the easiest to set on fire. Pastor Jim, I turn it over to you.